Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny audio number 474. This is Kevin DeFrango. Yet again this week, it is a three-man booth. What is going on down south, Jeremy Mays?
And hello, everyone. No, not much. Just got done cleaning up from well, it's not really a hurricane that hit us. Luckily, we are far enough inland that nothing really bad happened here. My neighbors and everything else who have tall trees that are not well kept like ours, they fell. So I just had to pick up limbs. And a whole lot of them, apparently. So,
well, yeah. That's one way to get a free tree trim. Those things are not cheap.
Yeah, but the nice part is, if you have a lawnmower with a fairly new blade, just run it over. And it mulches everything really nice, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. So make cleanup pretty simple.
That is the other way to do things.
And if you listen to We Watch Stuff, if it ruins your lawnmower, just buy it on credit and don't pay your credit back, and you get a free lawnmower out of it. You have to listen to the show to understand that one. So, basically, I just said use credit cards all the time and never pay the bill. You don't have to worry about it. Nothing can happen. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is true.
Some life advice, everybody.
Well, Chris, do you have any life advice that you can lead off the show with after those sage words from Jeremy?
I don't think I got anything that can top that. No. Just, you know, don't pay your bills, people. It's all right. Let those babies pile up. Nothing can happen. They can't touch you.
You own your house. You own your car. As long as you pay those two bills, you don't need credit anymore.
Yeah, this is true.
That is true.
Yeah. Just take care of your car and you'll be fine. Yeah.
I will be fixing to take care of my car next up on the list. But hey, I suppose we normally talk about wrestling on this show, and more specifically the WWE. I would say the biggest news coming out of Hell in a Cell arguably could be Mr. Brock Lesnar coming back. Maybe, I guess I thought sooner than expected, maybe. I expected a slightly longer hiatus. But, he's back and he certainly is, quote-unquote, the crown jewel, huh?
Brock is a very, very brilliant man. That's all he is back for that damn oil money. He is going to get a seven-figure payday for this damn show.
And that seven figures, like, the first number isn't a one either, apparently. So, yeah, nice work on his part.
Yeah. Apparently, the greatest Royal Rumble show back in April, we were all off on the estimation of what they got. Apparently, the number was actually a gross of $45 million. Last month, the numbers I heard were 20 to 25. So the Saudis are throwing around that kind of money that, yeah, I don't think anyone would turn it down. I don't think anyone should hold it against, well, certainly no anything against Brock, but Shawn Michaels for that matter. That is too damn much money to turn down.
The Australia show's first, right?
Yeah, the Australia show's first, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Alright, just making sure.
Yeah, because I believe
so they can set up Shawn Michaels and Undertaker for the Saudi show then.
Yeah, they do that, either the one-on-one or the tag match with Triple H and Kane. Whatever Shawn's most comfortable with, I guess, is where it's going to go.
Wait. I want to make sure I followed you. You're saying, or you think Shawn Michaels would take on Kane first?
No. It'd be a tag match.
Oh God. Alright, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's on Sean. I mean, Sean just feels like he'd rather do a tag team match with Triple H, and, you know, to get his change, or, you know, what the Crown Prince wants. If the Crown Prince wants the dead guy versus the boy toy, I guess he Lashley's going to get the dead guy versus the boy toy.
I guess that's what $45 million will do. Will get you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like
they can't bring Yokozuna back or the Ultimate Warrior back to life.
Yeah, well, that's what you're saying when the prince wants something. It's like, well, yeah. Not all the time, I suppose, but.
Well, they did find a 500-pound sumo guy and throw him in that Greatest Royal Rumble.
Happy that got explained too. I know this is going backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's this guy? And I got all the respect for those sumo guys. They are badasses. But, eh? Like, who's this guy? And they announced it. I'm like, oh, is he really popular? No, he's a sumo guy.
They probably never told the prince the truth.
You know, you veer away from politics as much as you want. I was about to say, well, no. Like, one of the royalty or leaders of your country can't be that stupid. Never mind. But yeah, that was the only highlight of that main event, by the way, was Brock coming back. So,
yeah.
I really liked Hell in a Cell. The AJ Styles match was kind of goofy at the end. And then Hell in a Cell, especially after the first one, it was bad. I mean,
they were going through the motions before the big schmoz finish, and then Brock. Yeah, I mean, they had no intention of delivering a classic match with obviously not with a satisfying finish.
Yeah, and that was too bad because here's the thing. And I'm actually defending the guys in the match and Roman for that matter. Yeah, I guess it's kind of an overall arc, really. But I feel bad for Roman because, you know, the crowd's not getting behind him that much. Yeah, you hear a lot of the kids and the girls yelling like John Cena. But the guys just aren't taken to it because the guys don't want another Cena 2.0 or a Hogan 3.0, if you want to put it in those terms. But if they want to make him a badass, that's fine. Like, him beating everybody, fine. But goddamn, stop with the nonsense. Just have him go out there and have actual, like, just matches. And it's always some ridiculous stuff. There's always some sort of goofy-ass shit that goes on, like the end of Raw. Like, Baron Corbin did anyone think that was going to happen with Baron Corbin winning? No. But God, just let him beat him clean. And in the meantime, you make Strowman looks like a moron who comes down there who's not even hurt. He gets his ass handed to him with one punch. It's like, I don't know, are they trying to bring Strowman back down to earth by doing this? Because he's awful strong, but they're not doing Roman any favors in the way they write him, book him, whatever you want to call it. So anyways.
Well, and it really didn't help the best part of the promos this week.
Mm-hmm.
Braun Strowman gets to tell Baron Corbin that he sucks.
Yes.
And, like, that's what everyone's thinking, and you give it to... And clearly they're trying to make Strowman the heel, but that line should not have been his at all. Like,
yeah.
It should have been part of the, the promo, obviously. It's just the wrong person said it.
Well, there was that, and then what did he follow it with? He turns to Roman and goes, I know you absolutely suck. Like, why am I booing this guy? And then I was like, hey, you forgot a line. Oh, yeah, no, you people suck too. It's like, all right. I mean, you already won me over. Like...
Yeah, and especially he ends up going, or he said it again, didn't he, in a backstage segment later? And it's just like, oh my god, you guys are reinforcing it now. What are you doing? Like, just go one way or the other. I don't care. Just pick a direction. Let Reigns have those lines. Like, they're there. You're just giving them to the wrong person.
Yeah. Roman never gets the good lines. He never gets to look cool. They seem like they were doing a little better recently, but then there he is, just standing there, letting Braun tell him he sucks, letting Corbin. face. And meanwhile, he just stood there and took it all. Just like, no.
Mm-hmm. At least John Cena would have a quick quip to come back with, or at least like smirk or just do something. Roman just stood there. Well, it's like,
yeah, I think he's supposed to be going for like Joe Cool in those moments, and doesn't work. Like there needs to be a little bit more acknowledgement of the situation with his facial features and body language.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was thinking about this last night. This is kind of a dumping on Roman thing, which I don't think is his fault though. Look at the nicknames that people have in WWE. His is terrible. If you really think about it, you got the phenomenal AJ Styles. All right, pretty cool. Even glorious Bobby Roode. The Architect. All right. But it made sense.
Right.
The Lunatic Fringe. All right, yeah, that's... All right, that's something edgy, whatever. It was Asuka as the princess of Empress of Tomorrow. This stuff. You got all these cool nicknames, right? And then,
yeah, the monster, God. The monster among men.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't getting cooler than that one. And then you got the big dog.
Yeah, even the wife was making fun of it when she's like, "Really, the big dog?"
Is this an indie show? And again, none of my problem with Roman Reigns is his talent. In ring, I got no complaints with that guy. He's doing pretty damn good. But, not promo-wise, because who the hell knows what his real personality is like? Because he was on Game Day, and you talk about a wet blanket, oh boy. And I got nothing off of him watching that thing. Except that he picked TCU to beat Ohio State. That was smart. Yeah. For a top guy that they really want to be the face, everything, they really don't do him any favors. And I'm guessing he doesn't think, or just doesn't have the stroke to be like, hey, this sucks. So, can we do something different? But, obviously, I don't know that for sure.
So. he still needs a little bit of help if they're trying to go where they're going to. The only thing that's helping Braun Strowman get weighted down is everyone's hate for Dolph Ziggler at this phase.
I'll let Chris go first with Dolph Ziggler.
That is it. Without Dolph, both Braun and Drew McIntyre, there's really no reason to boo them. It's the force of suck that surrounds the black hole sink that surrounds Dolph Ziggler that makes them heels at this point.
Yeah, see, I'm not saying anything, because I'm going to see Dolph Ziggler at the Comedy Zone next week.
Oh, my God.
So,
please tell me he's not headlining.
Yeah, it's a celebrity show. Yeah, it's him and Sarah Tiana. So, should be curious. I'm curious.
I followed Ziggler on Twitter for a while. He was just thinking he was just throwing off these great zingers, and it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck, man.
See, I'm not sitting in front like I usually do.
It's content.
I don't. I don't want to go to this thing and have him suck. To be completely honest,
no. You're spending money with
him. Let me know. Well, yeah. I didn't think about that part too. But it's just the fact that, like, have you ever seen a bad comedian?
Oh, I've seen a bad.
Like,
I've seen. No, I've been live. One of the worst. Well, but professional comedians are like open mic sites.
It's kind of hard to tell in some cases.
Yeah, no, no. Well, I've been to an open mic situation where everyone was doing about 10-15 minute sets. I don't think I laughed once. bad nominees. It was the worst. There's nothing more uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, seeing an open micer is one thing, but it seemed like a professional, like, they're paid, you know, to be there, and they're supposed to have a set and all this, and it shits the bed. It's like, oh, boy. It's like, and I know comedians always call it, like, I just ate my balls up there, but it's not fun, and that's why I just don't want that to happen when I go. So, yeah, so we'll see. It was a risk doing it, I know.
Yeah, I want to say that I thought I saw something about him being here in Columbus, maybe around the time that we were moving, so I ignored it. But I guess I would be kind of interested, because I'm with Chris. Like, I think I still follow the account, the Ziggler account, but I just don't feel like I see that many tweets from him anymore.
Well, no comedian should have a Twitter account anyways, because, one, people think everything they say is like, should be taken verbatim, devoid of humor. And then also, like, a lot of comedians like to try and work stuff out. It's kind of stupid to do on Twitter. So, but...
Dolph's got to save that A material now.
So anyways, to get back on track, which is me saying it, so you guys are still down on the whole Dolph Ziggler thing, huh? I've actually been enjoying it.
No, you know, I think it's, he has a direction now, and, you know, he's kind of the loudmouth with the two big bodyguards. It's taken them a while to get there, because they started them out as a tag team, and now, well, I guess they're still a tag team, but I think they've hashed out the roles better for both of them, and made right. more sense of them being a team.
I mean, he is the shitster, he is the guy who gets the heat. It's probably is the guy just has, like, seemingly infinite lives on in WWE. You know, every time you think it's over, he just can't get back into anything relevant. Here he comes again. You know, so once again, it's been right. Him and Drew, you know, they make a good team. They do. I was probably over exaggerating force of suck comment I made, but best match from Hell in a Cell was definitely the tag team championship match. I don't think you're getting much argument there. So let's get this run. It's definitely working for him, and it's something to get Drew McIntyre up and going. The partnership from Strowman and the two of them is definitely. It feels thrown together as an excuse to have this field to have formidable opponents with Strowman on the other side. But no, I mean I think that the whole union of this, especially with Strowman and Ziggler standing next to each other, Callan, it will never not be weird. But no. It's been good with what they've had for him on this run.
Yeah, well, it's also, they're doing like the classic smaller guy, big guy thing, where Dolph gets to act smug, even though Drew's doing like a lot of the heavy lifting. Like, you know, Drew's the one picking up the wins since, you know, Dolph's not the Intercontinental Champion anymore. And I was kind of shocked about the clean finish they had with, Dean and Drew last night. That surprised me. Like, wow, alright, so they're... I'm like, I guess it's jobbing out the correct term? I don't know.
Well, it makes...
Dean lose like that.
It makes a decent deal of sense for Rollins and Ambrose to lose simply because Rollins has the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that does kind of leave Ambrose in a little bit of a no man's land.
He's always been the one able to just absorb losing as well, because he is so loved. That crowd loves Dean Ambrose. His goofy FBS, which is probably why they like him so much. So him losing like that, it's not going to hurt him that much. So
no, it's also not a big deal. It did bring down Dean Ambrose, but it was a big certainly the biggest singles win that McIntyre's had on the main roster since coming back. So that was good, and of course, you know, in the series between the team later that night, you know, Braun's able to get the win over Ziggler, so it's basically 1-1.
Wait, you mean Seth got the win?
I said Rollins.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said Braun. Sorry.
No, I said,
wait a minute, I know I dozed off last night for a little bit.
No.
What the hell happened?
In the war between the Shield and whatever the hell this team is.
And it does kind of go back to the other thing. Like, you, I guess I make fun. It's kind of hard to make fun of the WWE for some short-sighted decisions, because it seems like these countries that we've kind of talked about with an Australia show and a Saudi Arabia show, these things pop up for so much money now. They just completely fuck their writing process to take in this cash. And yeah, it's kind of led to this weird alliance with with Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre.
Yeah, it was funny because we're going to the Raw October 29th. That's here in Charlotte. And they used to advertise Corbin, Ziggler, and McIntyre versus The Shield. And for the dark match. And I'm like, well, this holds no interest whatsoever now. But then they put Braun in there. I'm like, oh, all right, that makes sense. And then I realized they're not going to have that match anyways, so I'm not worried about it. Because the old card subject to change at the bottom. So, yeah, I don't see that happen. But now, Drew McIntyre, he just has, like, that look, he just looks like a bad guy. So I remember I was talking about it when he was in NXT, like how goofy he was that he was a face. Like, why? Like, what was he like? What was the one thing, like, we are NXT when he was facing Bobby Roode? And it's like, dude, why are you cheerleading for us? Kind of weird. But, so no, he's found his role, and he's been goddamn impressive since he came back, too. He doesn't look lost out there. Also, is he taller than Braun Strowman?
That's what I noticed. I think he might be.
Okay, I couldn't tell if it was that or if it was the angle.
It might have been, but no, he looked like a very impressive man standing next to Braun Strowman.
No, what, he's what, 6'7"?
Well, yeah, I think he's like an inch or two shorter than Strowman. Like, it is really, okay. Like, I think it was one of those things where it was so close, it's like, oh my god. Like, it's kind of, yeah, it's one of those things that I still kind of marvel at, because I guess I noticed it a while ago that McIntyre is way bigger than I remember him being the first time around. Like, I don't know why I was thinking, like, I don't know, 6'4 or 6'5, something like, you know, just a little bit shorter, but I mean, he is a monster. I mean, yeah. He's more chiseled now, which does help.
Yeah. Well, he was also, what was he, in his early 20s? Or was he 18, 19? Wasn't he, like, extremely young the first time he was in WWE?
His early 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, probably early 20s. I mean, he had a European and indie career, so it's not like he was, you know, a young kid, but he was definitely, he was fresh-faced, he looked young. They gave him the Chosen One gimmick, which was, became a kiss of death for him. Really early. And then an awful, awful feud with Matt Hardy, where Matt Hardy was, that video where Matt Hardy was, do you remember that video that where Matt Hardy was literally filming himself in a car, allegedly following Drew McIntyre's car?
I never really followed Matt Hardy's career when he started getting all messed up on drugs. I don't remember any of that stuff. So, yes. Go back through the Stunt Granny archive.
I,
You're going to find a whole lot of content, gang.
The show hasn't been the same since the Hardys. So
since all these goddamn wrestlers got their acts together, boring fuckers, ruining our business. You understand how easy it is to be snarky about stuff? Rolls off the tongue. When it comes to, like, doing positive stuff, how difficult that shit is? You just sound like you're gushing. Like, you're a cheerleader. No, I just enjoyed it for a change. Shut up. But, yeah, so there's that. I mean, all right, sorry, man. I know we're going to derail a little bit, but is this a good time to talk about Matt Hardy real quick?
Yeah.
Go for it, because then we can transition to Joel Jett.
Yeah, well... Okay, so you guys saw the video and saw the news and all that stuff, right?
Well, I guess the thing that's kind of interesting about that is, have they acknowledged it on TV yet?
No. Not that I've seen at all.
Because I know that I saw a produced video on Twitter. Was that on .com at least?
Yes. Yeah, that was footage taken as he was leaving the building. The only thing about that video is that he specifically says, this is the last of Woken Matt Hardy. So, I guess it doesn't mean it's the end of Matt Hardy, apparently. But for Woken Matt Hardy, yeah, that's the end for him. I don't know. Doesn't it seem kind of anticlimactic for somebody who was so important during the Attitude Era and then that's relatively important after he comes back? I mean, one of the cooler WrestleMania moments in a while were him and Jeff coming back. Just to have him, like, go off TV and that's it?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I think that they are kind of, maybe that they've had their fill. Well, plus, we don't know if he's done for good. Yeah, he's gonna rehab, he's gonna do whatever he needs to do, and if he can come back, he can come back, although he is in his 40s now, and you know, maybe taking a job behind the scenes, probably taking a job behind the scenes with that gives him a 401k and health benefits, it's probably for the best for him, but wrestlers are wrestlers, but WWE probably, maybe WWE just feels like, We do these teary-eyed retirement deals, and then they come back. They always come back. So let's not do this time.
Okay, I'm with you on that, but I'm thinking that at least some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy after this weekend taking time off, or yeah, just even saying taking time off. I don't think that's bad either. I don't know what I want out of it specifically, but just to let him disappear like that, it's kind of weird. But they've been known to do that. Hey, remember Mike? Bennett. Oh no, it was Canellis. Or was it Bennett? Point is, remember that guy? No.
Yeah.
He's got a badass story, and they won't even take advantage of that. They got a built-in retribution story for him, and they won't even use it.
And then if he falls off the wagon again, what do you do?
Well, I mean, the same could have been said for the Hardys, though.
Yeah, but
I mean,
he's not.
Hell, anybody on the roster.
He appeared on TV like 5 times.
Yeah.
And then went to and then they had to pay for his rehab, even though his and Maria's signing was just it's still baffling what they thought, why they got to bypass NXT and come straight to the main roster. It was all
why her?
Well, yeah, I guess, but
yeah, that's literally the only reason.
And she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And now she's getting kind of weird on social media, and he's that he's getting defensive of her, and it just never got to, you know, really get off the launching pad.
I missed the Twitter stuff. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Well, I think she said something about, I don't remember, she did it everywhere. She said she'd like to see the Divas Championship come back.
Yeah.
And then she just got destroyed by people, of course. And then Mike he's jumping on Twitter to defend her. He's tagging Paul Heyman in tweets, asking Paul Heyman to tell people. She's really smart, actually. She's not dumb. Which is pretty much what happened.
Did Paul Heyman say she wasn't dumb?
He said that she's one of the smartest, most creative people he's ever met.
I just like...
He ran to daddy, basically.
I just like, Kevin's kind of dry anyways. So did he say she wasn't dumb? That just struck me as funny.
That was pretty good. That was all pretty good.
Yeah, so.
Well, good for Paul. I mean, she has done fashion stuff, hasn't she? Like, outside of the WWE?
Nothing that took off. We definitely need to transition soon, because we're talking about people who aren't even on TV.
That's true.
But, yeah, you know, listen, their introduction was weird. It seemed very half-assed. Like, there were people in the company like, who are they? Why are they here? You know, it was Triple H signing that I'm not even sure if Vince was behind, and then he has to go to rehab on the company's bill, despite the fact that he's barely ever worked there, and then she gets pregnant, so they don't get the, they don't to even do anything with them.
Yeah,
but they're not going to fire them yet. It's an interesting situation. I don't think one Mike Bennett Nellis is going to be is going to be tearing things up any minute.
K A N E L L I S.
I spelled it with an H for some reason. I was trying to find.
Nope. No H.
Yep. There we go. All right.
But, I guess, maybe, second, best thing of the week, in the WWE, Becky Lynch getting to, bust out bitch again.
Oh, Becky. I love Becky.
Yep. Same here.
That was all really good. You know, once again, you can raise my hand. You can put the belt around my waist. You can call me queen, bitch.
One thing I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed, Charlotte's shirt exploded at the end. Watch... All she's doing is covering, is making sure everything is kept in check. And then when they go with like another shot, that shirt was from, you know, waist to chest. The bottom was ripped up. And basically, I get the feeling things were falling out that weren't supposed to be falling out.
Very, very likely. Yeah.
Because it happens right when she throws her into the stairs. Charlotte gives no fucks about anything else except making sure her hands are over her chest. Like, she's constantly adjusting stuff. And I'm going, yeah, I don't think when they designed that shirt, they were expecting it to be worn by someone that, like, her size, being tossed into a furnace, like...
Throwing someone into a furnace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Charlotte is a great dresser. But she did not dress for functionality tonight.
No, Becky doesn't really either. Ever since she turned bad, she's always wearing like camis, and it's like those aren't One, I mean, they're summer shirts, so they're gonna be, you know, built for cool, I guess. And also, they're flimsy. So if you're wearing like cotton, I guess it's all right. But if you're wearing some like silk or rayon, nylon, whatever,
that.
Yeah, that's not good material. But it looks nice, but not for anything physical like they're doing. It's just not meant for that stuff. So, but yeah, Becky's great. You know what? Charlotte was really good in this too. So I give the whole thing to me. This whole angle to me has gotten a big thumbs up. I've been enjoying the whole thing. So
yeah, it's an example of doing things shades of gray style done right. Although obviously Becky is more the aggressor, and I guess kind of the heel, but you know. There's obviously enough justification in her words and her actions, whereas Charlotte can still believably say that she still believes that she did nothing wrong to Becky to deserve it. You know, you can make up your own mind. It's one of the better applications of a Shades of Grey theory in wrestling, which a lot of times doesn't work.
Well, I also like the fact that I was lost my train of thought. There's another part of it, like, Becky's being a jerk about all this, but that's kind of what the crowd wants anyways. Like, the Attitude Era characters, you know, for better or worse, none of them were like good guys. And they've never really grown out of that. Like, that's why the heels keep getting cheered. So, now it's to the point where, yeah, she was, like, in her mind and the story, she's justified. Charlotte can say, yeah, well, I didn't know, or whatever. But the crowd's still going to be like, well, whoever acts like the bigger jerk, and Charlotte being all, like, not apologetic, but, you know, I'm going to show you respect. Crowd don't want none of that. We want to see the girl that was apparently wronged. We want to see her, you know, get her stuff going. But then Becky made a good point of, I didn't want you raising my hand because I didn't want you taking my spotlight. Yeah. I just told you I was going to do, and I do what I was going to do, and I did it. Nah, you don't get to raise my hand afterwards. So, you go screw. I don't see Tom Brady holding up, you know, I don't know, maybe one of the Eagles. You know, I don't
Nick
see them
Foles.
Hold one of their hands up. Screw them. Get the hell out of my locker room, Dick. You lost. So, yeah. Made sense to me.
Yeah, again, I think that goes back to what Chris was saying too. Like, it really helps their long-term friendship that they've had on TV for the most part has really helped this angle out. Just because there's betrayal, but as you keep on saying, there are definitely points that Becky Lynch, a lot of people can identify with. Mm-hmm. So it's just making her more popular, even though, like you said, Charlotte kind of has her own case. So, you know, people have decided to go with Becky, and yeah, kind of the badasses, again, like Strowman and her, kind of have similar streaks to them, and there's a reason that people are cheering them.
Yeah, and Strowman got that popular because they were giving those ridiculous stunts to do, and it worked. And then, you know, the little bit he says, he really doesn't talk that much, but, you know, get these hands, that's pretty goddamn catchy. So yeah, it makes total sense. And, you know, when you put against boring personality in Roman Reigns, yeah, he'll stand out, but no, but this feud's good. I don't want it to end either, because that match had a couple weird spots. Still pretty good, though. The end was kind of strange.
Yeah, I didn't quite expect I mean, I really did feel like going into it, and I think we mentioned it last week on the show, that Becky needed to win, really.
Yeah.
But she did kind of win fluky. Like, she didn't have the armbar on her and get her to tap out. She just rolled through the spear to get the pin. And it honestly didn't seem like a point that Charlotte should have been down enough for the pin to work, which is what surprised me.
Well, we also just saw Nakamura do a schoolboy on Rusev and win, so, you know. When Rusev wasn't hurt at all, he did a schoolboy and got the pin, so her being low enough and all that stuff, that's just whatever.
They go with the schoolboy roll-up finish whenever they don't want to hurt somebody. It's what they know. It's what they do.
You can only suspend your disbelief. Like, I know watching wrestling, you really... You have to go with it or not. But it's also supposed to be an athletic competition, right? Well, I've complained about this before. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but... It's just stupid. When somebody Rusev size can't kick out of a schoolboy from somebody Shinsuke Nakamura size after he's been blasting Shinsuke the whole time. It's like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. So, I mean, if it was Rusev, like, rolling up Brie Bella, sure, I totally get it. You know, or if someone could catch Leo Rush, that would be fine. But, anyways, I'll stop. The same shit I've been saying for years, it doesn't matter. It's never going to change.
Oh, man. I mean, they were trying to sell the dissension in Rusev Day with that story, so I guess that's one that kind of let slide.
They were banging you over the head with it all night, but they did do the better option twist of Aiden English going heel on Rusev. Because Aiden English as a babyface being attacked, being jumped by Rusev, and then losing to him probably the next week, that's pretty much that's pretty much his path to becoming Kurt Hawkins. As a heel, as an annoying operatic singing heel, he's got to stay away from that rat shit. Though. Oh my god, it's terrible. He does that, but. As the annoying singing heel, he might have a chance to be level up from complete jobber at the very least.
I could definitely see him sticking around as a low-level heel who, like you said, is an enhancement talent.
See, my thing with Aiden English is I don't know if he's good in the ring or not. That's not a slight. I just don't feel like he's been in enough matches.
Definitely not enough singles matches. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's good. That is true, but he has a better chance of succeeding as the heel, and then finally Rusev can be a baby face. Is it too late? It's too late to really go with it. You know, with the whole Rusev Day thing. But at least now Rusev can be the face.
I thought they were already teetering on that anyways, because
they had been, but then they go back. They play it up, but then he does something dastardly to beats the Texan from behind or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's why when they were doing the AJ Styles thing with him, I even said they don't need to do that with Rusev. Just. The crowd wants to cheer anyway, so just let him do some cool, like, I don't know, tweener stuff. I don't know if it'd be a tweener or not, but anyways, that's not this and that. But yeah, that's fine. People want to cheer Rusev, let it go. So, hey. Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about Jeff Hardy. We got away from that.
We got away from Jeff Hardy, or we got away from Matt Hardy really quick too.
Yeah, we got away from Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy, oh my god. I guess we have to talk about it.
Driving
through the earlobe. Oh my god, I cringed. I had to sway. That man is insane.
Hey,
I thought it was cool.
I mean, it was cool. I mean, it was grossly cool, but
that's where I was.
That to me.
See, Kevin. All right. Unfortunately, Kevin and I already talked about this off air. I was like, all right, yeah, that's kind of gross, but that's a healed, with a Gage's earlobe.
Yeah.
So that wasn't hurting him at all, and then having him like twisted around, it's not an open wound. That's basically like silly putty. So, and there's no nerve endings down there, so he really wasn't going to feel anything.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's like the visual of it, though. Yeah, and it's something you've never seen in wrestling.
Oh yeah, you've never seen, definitely never seen anything like that before. No, no, that, no, that, that's what it made work, and then the way how hard Jeff was whipping Randy with that belt, and oh my, now that really disgusted.
That was gross.
All right,
so you saw his leg was bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, oh, that's pretty gross. And then they showed a close up of it with flesh hanging off, and I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, wait, this is the PG show? Ugh. That got me. I'm like, that's really gross, because that's real. Like, that's real human skin hanging in a place it's not supposed to be hanging from, in a situation it's not supposed to be happening. Like, when was the last time they had a strap match where anyone actually cut themselves open? Or a bull rope match, or a chain match, or
Sting Invader from 93?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. And I don't know, did you make the joke about Hot Topic?
No, I wasn't making
else.
What joke about Hot Topic?
Okay. No, what would
be? Well, somebody said that's where all the wrestlers are going to go to buy their belts for no DQ match now, or Hell in a Cell. I don't know if that was just a joke, or if that they actually do sell those at Hot Topic. It beats the hell out of me. So, but yeah, that was some nasty shit, and I was very surprised WWE like focused in on his leg with pieces of his skin hanging off. Like,
yeah, I was pretty surprised by that. That stuff always kind of turns me off more than anything. I don't mind enduring my own level of pain, but when I see someone else's wound, that really does not sit well with me.
Yeah. we were discussing, like, I'm still in my 80s horror movies kicks, and Kevin, you remember the movie Pieces?
Oh, yeah.
Watching school? All right. So you know the part where the chick gets cut in half with a chainsaw in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
That's actually a pig carcass.
Oh.
So when that chainsaw comes through the door, and very slick editing for the 80s or 70s, whatever it was, I think it was 83 actually, that when it cuts into it, it was gross when I remember as a kid. It's still gross now. And now they found out it was actually like a pig carcass. I mean, I know it's a pig, and I just had barbecue this weekend, so I'm not, you know, not going to complain. But you just see this chainsaw go through, and there's pieces of flesh and blood flying all over the place. And it's like, ew, it's really gross. And that's pretty much all I can equate Randy Orton's leg to. Like, yeah, that's really gross. And then his back was all messed up, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
thank God. Because Hell in a Cell are supposed to be violent.
I like that. I like that match a lot.
But yeah, but then just knowing how they followed up later was just like, okay, whatever. So, although Brock kicking the door in, I know he can just weaken everything, and that's fine. But it's still pretty cool looking. So,
yeah, that was a cool visual.
But yeah, but back to Jeff. Kevin and I, we talked about this off air, but that bump made perfect sense in that context. Uh-oh, I think we just lost Chris.
Oh, we did.
I don't know, his picture just went away.
Of course we'd lose him right at the end of the show.
Yeah, anyways. But like we were talking about, him rolling and Randy Orton being like, peace out of here. Like, I'm not taking this one. It actually made sense. If you go back and look, because Jeff's screwed. He starts doing that swing. No one's got finger grip like that to hold yourself up. So, you know, I was kind of wishing the announcers would have said something about it. And just been like, you know, Randy Orton bailed knowing Jeff was in a bad position. Or just something, because he was gone, what, 10 seconds before Jeff let go?
Well, it was hard to tell because they really kept the camera on Jeff Hardy. But you could tell by where Randy Orton was in the ring how far he'd gotten, like how much time had elapsed since he got off that table.
Yeah. Like the initial view, Jeff just fell. But then they kept showing the replay, and they were showing how Randy bailed so early. And again, I don't blame him. Because it would look bad. And then I thought it was curious on that bump. They never showed a slow-mo of it. It was Jeff, let's go. Jeff hits the ground. And I was wondering if they were like covering something up, you know, like movie magic, or right. If Jeff face-planted and they were like, no, don't show that. Just don't show that again. Which would be kind of weird since they just showed Randy Orton's leg being cut open. But, you know, I just...
Yeah,
I just about that because they usually do some sort of slow mo, even when it's absolutely unnecessary.
Oh, right.
But no, it's the only thing is I guess Jeff wrestled at the house show on Monday after, which is I guess he got to if.
Well, it was one of those things that I guess, like, I know that I watched that a couple of times. It still, to me, looked like that, if Jeff Hardy got his hands in front of his face for that fall, which I think he may have, that bump isn't too bad, because then it's more on like your forearms instead of your face. But like you said, like they didn't really show a slow-mo of it or anything, which leads you to believe that maybe that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But if he's wrestling, I would have to believe that, you know, he's okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think it would be when he wasn't, like, actually okay, I should say. But just with the way the announcers were treating it, like, he was, you know, he's bleeding from the mouth. He's doing this, that, you know, I expected him to be out for a while. Like, did they mention him on SmackDown tonight outside of Randy Orton in the booth?
No. I don't think they mentioned it.
No, they did show some still. I guess they got around saying anything because they had the pictures on the screen in the truck.
Right. Yeah, because okay. Orton was showing off the earlobe moment just because.
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to be one of those things that people aren't going to forget. It could be 100% safe, but it's definitely gross enough to keep registered with you.
Oh, for sure. This is kind of off topic, but it's on topic on Hell in a Cell. Did you get a chance to watch? Actually, you don't even need to watch; just listen to it. Foley's stand-up thing. There's one man show about getting Hell in a Cell and all that.
That new special that the network put on. No, I have not gotten the chance to.
It's worth. There's no visuals. It's just him talking, and. No, like, no one now. Hey, welcome back.
Hey, I'm here.
Basically, I was just asking Kevin if he saw the Mick Foley special after Hell in a Cell. And Mick Foley talking about it and doing this, basically just talking about the event, talking about what, like, his thought process, Undertaker, what was going into it, all that. Then I watched the YouTube video, a little 10, 15-minute thing. with the different voices that were calling it. And you were over my plate. You were over at the house watching that with us, right?
yeah.
Okay, so we're all losing our minds back then, because, of course we are.
Yeah, someone just got tossed off the top of the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I think the second one was the one that got the worst, the biggest, what I call biggest reaction, because that was just insanity.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm watching that now. Like, I watched that, and then I watched the YouTube thing, and then I went back and watched that match. Man, that, I don't know, it's like a blind fan arrogance, I guess. But just watching that now, like, and watching it now and then seeing, like, what bad shape Mick Foley is in as well. Then didn't he wrestle the next day?
Might have. Or within 2 days, because they were taping Raw on Tuesday, and every other Raw was taped. I should remember.
No, because the one after paper is always live.
Yeah.
Because that was...
Because that would have been the night that Austin came back for the championship.
Yeah, because...
It was ridiculously huge rating. It was probably the cage winner matches ever, actually. Yeah, I don't know if Mick wrestled, but they definitely... He was probably on the next house show loop, I imagine. He wasn't voluntarily taking time off. And back then, they didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
about Alan taking any time off.
But it's funny, and I'm sorry, it's not funny. seeing him now and seeing that all that stuff now, I just go, oh my God, I hope nothing like that ever happens again. And I know that they've done it again and at least taken some safety precautions. Shane had the airbag underneath. I think, didn't Owens have something underneath his? And like Seth and Dolph jumping off, they were from like halfway up, so it's just a normal bump through a table. If there's a normal bump through a table. I don't know, man. It kind of changed my perspective on it. Like the way it's glorified, but you watch it now and just go, I don't know. I don't know if this is something we should keep bringing up anymore. Although it is a gigantic historical moment in the company. I'm not stupid. So.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a tough watch, because that first one, every time I see that, I always notice that the monitors were in still, which uh-huh. is a precaution that became mandatory after that bump. It's just like, if someone's going through that, those monitors cannot be there, because that about killed Mick Foley. And then he also slid off of it. Like, he had a little too much, I guess if you want to call it, forward momentum.
Yes.
And the other people have definitely been more cautious about hitting the table more square. And like almost jumping straight down onto it instead of kind of getting tossed into, running into it.
Yeah. Well, it helped watching the special, because he really goes into stuff, and it really is just remarkable when he didn't die. And just like kind of, like, it's funny that, it's only funny now because we know he didn't, okay?
Right.
But they were talking about, like, Terry Funk, like, he was checking his pulse in the ring and doing different stuff, and it was played for laughs, but at the same time, it's like, oh, no, I didn't know that. Ew. Like, because this took place after Owen Hart died, correct?
No, it was before. It was
before? Okay. All right. I failed to look that up, and it just occurred to me. Okay, so that makes it a little bit better.
Oh, huh. I would have thought that the Owen Hart thing was before, because I remember not watching that on Static.
Wait, not watching what?
The Owen Hart thing. I went back to my parents' place and was watching the pay-per-view channel that it was on, and basically just listening to the audio, because that was coming through fine.
Same thing I did. couldn't get anyone to pay for it in my household. And,
I remember exactly where I was for that one. We were at BW3, and, you know, in Kent, obviously, and the whole place was just dead silent. Like, what did they just say? And then just kept right on going. Like, I mean, we're gonna keep this pay-per-view going? Okay, that's kind of weird. So, and then some guy getting really mad because I think Undertaker won at the end.
I don't remember what happened at that pay-per-view, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I think because it was Austin versus Undertaker when Undertaker was a bad guy. And it was part of the corporate ministry. And I think that's what happened. But, you know.
The corporate ministry. How I hate that the heartbreak ministry never happened.
Well, never mind. It's just now just going down like a dark road, because even out of that, like that picture of the Hart Foundation, and Brett's the only one left now.
Oh.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had his fair share of health scares on his own too.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so Hell in a Cell. But yeah, that Mick Foley thing's worth listening to.
Yeah,
it gives you a different perspective on it. It gave me a little bit of a different perspective on that whole thing, though. Did you see it yet, Chris?
I have not seen it yet. No, I have not seen it.
Man, I was just saying, I can't remember if you were on or not when I said it, but it's worth just listening to. Like, you can have it on the background. There's not a lot of production value. You just have, like, a little theater talking. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So.
I'll definitely watch it.
So. I don't know. WWE's just always in a weird spot. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's all these special events. Because even the women aren't really doing a whole lot right now. But they've got the big pay-per-view coming up.
Well, I mean, there's just odd alliances with the women, too, honestly. Like the Naomi and Asuka duo is kind of strange. Bailey and Sasha have had a couple of singles matches again recently, but they're still attached to the hip for some reason. You know, the Goddess has her own squad now. Both she's just collecting female wrestlers who've been wrestling for more than 20 years, evidently.
Real quick, you mentioned Bailey because, you know, she came out with the kids this week and all that. How have we not talked about the one kid that is wearing the anti-Susan G. Komen shirt? Has anybody picked up on that?
I didn't notice that at all. I don't.
This is not mine. I did not find it. I thought there was something weird about the shirt. The pink ribbon was started by Susan G. Komen and all that. He has a shirt with the Susan G. Komen pink ribbon on it, with the big circle with the cross over it. Basically, those shirts are made because Susan G. Komen, most of the money doesn't go to cancer research. It goes to parties, goes to what they call exposure, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff where a supposed nonprofit charity just fucks over people by stealing their money. And so this kid, while they're, you know, celebrating or, the sponsor of WWE, which paid for you to go to this thing, you're wearing a shirt that basically is telling them to fuck themselves. I love this kid, and I'm not even sure he knows. I'm pretty sure his parents put him up to it. Either way, the fact that WWE continues to show this guy on TV, on TV, just cracks me up, because, you know, they can't say, well, we can't put him in this thing. We just spent all this time, you know. We're not yanking a cancer kid from his TV appearance. That's just rude. So,
yeah, I would imagine if they really needed to, they could dig out his shirt and say that it was something offensive, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, how dumb do they look then for allowing a child? Because none of these kids are old. Like, you're allowing a child to wear an offensive shirt in your commercials? Like, what? Now, I'm not saying it's offensive. I'm saying if that's what they were going to go with. So, but yeah, digitizing a cancer kid sure would be kind of funny. So, yeah. So, good for the. I think he's what, the cancer taker or the night taker, whatever. Cancer taker. I wasn't sure
where you were going with that.
I don't think that's a skin's name. So.
I did not. Although they did all have, nicknames, I'm kind of surprised that someone did not go with Cancer Taker.
Yeah, and I know it's a kid, so it's whatever. But do you really need to be called Super Messiah? Like, isn't being a Messiah kind of the end all be all?
What if Messiah is just his first name? Like literally his name.
I honestly didn't think of that. Is that what it is?
I think so. I think that they...
Shut up, Chris. I think you're right. As soon as you said that, I went, crap.
I think they would have told him to pick something else if it wasn't actually his name. I'm pretty sure of that.
Never mind. You know what? This is just leading in. Never mind. Just, what else happened? I'm wrong. Never mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are there any other big topics? We've kind of moved along on this show, so we could wrap it up if we wanted to.
Yeah, I'm good with that. It's getting kind of late anyways, so...
Okie dokie. Well, I will mention that I stopped in at Seventh Son Brewing on the way back home. Tonight, it was not completely on the way, but hey, I made it on the way. If you got a flight of beer, they gave you $4 off of 22 of double imperial ale, brown ale. And Mr. Owl, that double imperial, the double India pale ale is quite tasty. It's plenty hoppy and plenty boozy, but still, it's not, it's still a little bit lighter on hops just because it's a little bit darker of a grain. And that, to me, always cancels out hops more than just about anything else.
Yeah.
So, really tasty. There are three other beers in the flight there that accompanied it, and they were all good, and I'd had them before, so it was Odd Sun, which one? Oh, that was the Farmhouse Ale, which has a nice little kind of sour touch to it. The Glean IPA, which was also very good. I always like the tropical IPAs more, and that is definitely in that mold. And their usual, which is probably a good one to put in with the Imperial Brown Ale of any sort, their regular Oat Brown, Stone Fort, which is really good. Them and Land Grant have really good brown ales. They are something that that I do like quite a bit that don't get brewed terribly frequently, honestly. But these two companies in town do them well. So, yeah, that is my Belltime beer of the week, I suppose, is the Mr. Owl. So, yes, if you ever come to Columbus and stay away from my cats, Jeremy, you will get to have some Mr. Owl, maybe.
Yeah, I'll meet you at the hotel room, you idiot. Ben, I've had one. Now it's two. I'll just die. I am not drinking a Sippy Time beer, but of all things I tried, not to jump on your bandwagon, I'm not sure if you even heard of this. Pabst Blue Ribbon has an American Pale Ale.
Oh.
It's pretty fucking good. I was very skeptical, like, all right, everyone thinks Pabst is like the king shit. It's not, it's just cheap. And there's nothing wrong with cheap beer when you really need one, you're already already got a drunk going on. Why are you going to spend a lot of money for something else? But I was pleasantly surprised. And no, this is not a rib or a joke. It was pretty good. So, you know, you can get it on special. I don't know if you guys have it up there or not, but it's definitely down here. So I say give it a try. So, anyways, we watch stuff. We'll be back Thursday, and I'm out of here.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to jump on the beer train right now because I tried something absolutely that I had no idea existed at my Hell in a Cell viewing party. It's a Budweiser and Jim Beam Copper Lager. It's, you know, it's, what do they say, barrel-aged in Jim Beam with caramel and vanilla notes in it. It was really, really good. I had no idea it existed, but I liked it. It was a good beer.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Budweiser, the company that makes fun of you openly in their commercials for trying a beer like this, is now brewing their own. Not one from like the little microbrew craft brews that they bought, but they're brewing one themselves. These fake motherfuckers. Ugh. It can taste good. I'm not going to argue that at all because I haven't had it. But fuck them. Anyways. We watch stuff on Thursday.
Opa, probably on Friday. And we are out.